Alrighty. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. How are we? I am happy to be here. I'm excited. Jerry, you might not want to get too comfortable. We might be moving around a little bit, okay? So you guys can go and have a seat. I'm excited to be here. I woke up excited. I woke up so excited that I was embarrassing two of my children who just kept rolling their eyes and saying, Daddy, stop, Daddy, stop. So just excited to share some things that actually just fit in line very well with what we're talking about. One thing I did want to mention regarding the 40 days for life, and this is something that hit me when we were out there recently, is that, you know, we're holding up the signs and we're really trusting God. We're praying to end abortion. Maybe we will see that in our lifetime. Maybe we will see Roe v. Wade overturned. And that's what we're praying for, and we have faith for it. But that can seem like a very daunting task, can it? But one of the things that really hit me is that even though we might not pray, we might be praying and not see Roe v. Wade overturned, what Andrea just mentioned is we saw abortion end over 200 times. And that is something to rejoice at. So yeah, it might seem daunting. We might not see Roe v. Wade, but you know what? 200 lives have been saved, and abortion was not done over 200 times. So just really excited about that. One other thing, want to brag a little bit on two people, but also ask for your prayers. Isaac and Kelly, they hiked the Grand Canyon on Thursday. So 24 miles down the North Rim, across, back up the South Rim. It only took him like 11 and a half hours. So Isaac said, I had a lot of fun, but my feet are sore. So, but they've got about a 12 or 13 hour drive back today. So just want to keep them in prayer. So if you guys want to open up your Bibles, your reading devices, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 11. I do have the scriptures up here. We're going to be in four different passages, but you look more spiritual if you're opening up your Bible, and God might be a little bit more pleased with you if you're actually looking at your Bible as opposed to a PowerPoint. I'm just kidding. That's not the case. So this week's Torah portion had a lot of neat stuff, had Noah, the whole flood, and you know, the math doesn't work out. I'm a history major, and then you get into the number of days and over, and it's just math's confusing to me anyway. So we're not going to talk about that today, but we are going to talk about the Tower of Babel. That's what we're going to look at, and look at a principle that we see there, but a principle that I think applies to all of us in just our lives and in ministry, whether corporately or individually. So we're going to be in Genesis chapter 11. This is called Making a Name for God, Not Ourselves. And that's what we're going to talk about, Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. Now the entire earth had the same language with the same vocabulary. When they traveled eastward, they found a valley plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them until they're hard. So they used bricks for stone and for mortar, and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower whose top reaches into heaven. So let's make a name for ourselves, or else we will be scattered over the face of the whole land. Then Adonai came down to see the city and the tower that the sons of man had built. Adonai said, look, the people are one, and all of them have the same language. So this is what they have begun to do. Now nothing they plan to do will be impossible. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there so that they will not understand each other's language. So Adonai scattered them from there over the face of the entire land, and they stopped building the city. This is why it is named Babel, because Adonai confused the languages of the entire world there, and from there Adonai scattered them over the face of the entire world. I know when I first became a believer about the age of 15, I thought I was so clever. And the fact that it's like, they babble, I get. They confuse, it's Babel, I understand. And then I realized our God is not a God who speaks English. And so when you see like the whole Babel and whatnot, it's, we got that from him, he didn't get that from us. And so I thought I was just so cool and amazing and intelligent back when I was 15 years old, and I wasn't. So if you look at only verses 1 through 4, the first half, it doesn't seem like a bad thing. It doesn't seem like a bad thing for people to come together, to have a goal in mind, to build something, and maybe even so far as to say building a tower up to heaven. That part's not too bad. And as I talk about, it seems like almost every time I get up here and preach, there's always the second half of what man does that really gets them in trouble. It's the first part you think, okay, good, man, you've got it. You understand. And then they get into the second part, and then it's bad. Like Korah's rebellion, the first couple things that Korah was saying, not too bad. You know, God's spirit is in everyone, not just one person. Praise God. And then he keeps going and then starts talking about how Moses is the one that's destroying the entire nation. So I always say, whenever you start talking, you might not want to keep talking and talking and talking, because eventually you might get yourself in trouble. That's a lesson I've had to learn, because I've used the example or the phrase is that even a blind squirrel finds an acorn every now and then. So that if I keep talking long enough, eventually I might say something good, but also I might say something really bad. So be careful of the words that you speak. So on the surface, it doesn't seem like a bad thing for people to come together for a common purpose. This is what our world and even many within the kingdom of God aspire to do. When you are able to be a part of the kingdom of God and you recognize that your relationship with God is about much more than your relationship with him, and then he's calling you to do other things, and then get in the community, get into the world, get into God's kingdom, that's a good thing. But what the people at the Tower of Babel ended up doing, the second part of verse 4, where they said, so let's make a name for ourselves. That's the bad part. First part, good, let's make a tower up to heaven. Second part, because we want to make a name for ourselves. And you see that so much within popular Christianity. You see it in just about every religion, just about every denomination. But what I call popular Christianity, just kind of the showy part of things, the very surfacey part of things, you really see that people, whether they would admit it or not, they're trying to make a name for themselves. And it's a fine balance that you have to strike, because, you know, we talk about being trumpets. We talk about being the voice of God. And we talk about praying so that people know, and that praying for God's spirit to be revealed, and that's awesome, and that's something to praise God for. But then there can be that little shift where it says, I need to pray out loud so people can hear. I need to share things so I can be the voice of God. There are times for us to speak out when the Spirit leads. But if you are feeling like the Spirit of God is not leading you, shut up. Because bad things will happen. You might say good things, but if the Spirit of God is not involved in those good things that you're saying, it's going to bring about bad things. And that's why we need to be very careful that we are not taking a desire to serve God and turn it into something that we make a name for ourselves. Some people don't like the term like-minded. I know my wife, she talks about that, and I've had to kind of wrestle with it, because she says, I don't like, or sometimes she might have even said, I hate the term like-minded. And part of me is like, oh, honey, be careful, because that's a word actually in Scripture. But there is a context to it that we often miss. It often places the focus on beliefs and doctrines. When people say, I want to be surrounded by people of like mind, a lot of times they're only focusing on their beliefs, their doctrines, and their practices. Even though the admonition to be like-minded is scriptural, it comes with that context. Let's go over to Philippians 2, verses 2 through 7. This is the passage where that like-minded comes from. Paul saying, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love. This is where it changes. If you just stop right there in the first part of verse 2, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, that's when you start thinking I need to surround myself with people who believe exactly like I believe. But our God is so gracious is that he either put it there or he inspired men to put it there. He put a little comma at the end of that part, which means keep going. Is that you don't just take that one part and make that your doctrine. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, continuing on, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. The intent is not to build the Tower of Babel. The intent is not to make a name for ourselves. You can be like-minded with someone, but you're maintaining the same love, united in spirit, not united in doctrine, not united in mental capacity, not united in education, not united in language, not united in how long you have been in Torah, not united in how long you have been a believer, but being united in spirit. If God has called you to be His and has given you His Spirit, then you need to surround yourself with people who are united in that same Spirit. And it might look different, but God's Spirit goes into all sorts of different people in all sorts of different ways. And we're going to get into a couple of examples of that here in a minute. But if you find yourself with people who are united in spirit and intent on one purpose, that purpose is to have God glorified in our lives and in His kingdom and in this universe. That is really the only purpose any of us are here. I have a purpose to be a husband and a father. But the only reason why I am a husband and a father is to see God glorified in this world, but also in the Barber family. I have 7 people in my home who I continually pray that I'm doing a decent job of seeing God glorified in their life. We have gone through just a very hard time, just a very busy time in our home over the last part of the summer and during the fall. Oh my goodness, we have been so busy, and Andrea and I have in sometimes lamented how we have not done as good of a job being as diligent as we could with our kids. And the things that we are asking them to do, my son just is running ragged. His life for the last 4 months, he has been running ragged. And he's a strong guy, he's a smart guy, he's a committed guy, but there's only so much that he can do. And there's a part of me that just grieves that I put that on him. But God is sovereign and He is allowing that to happen. And so our life has been very, very busy. And in some ways, our life has been focused on what we're doing. But praise God that we've, I think, been able to overcome that and be a family that is still bringing glory to God's kingdom, even in the midst of our shortcomings. The Barber family is not just about running and school and martial arts and hiking and education and all those things. It is about glorifying God through running and through hiking and martial arts and education and service. Everything that we do should have that desire. So verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourselves. If you think you've got it all figured out and you are going to start doing things for yourself, you've missed the point, because you're doing things not from selfishness or empty conceit, but you are in humility considering one another better than yourself. If you've got it figured out, then you need to pay attention, because there are other people that you should be living for and spending your time for and efforting for, not just yourself. Verse 4, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. It's very hard to be of like mind with other people when you are focused so much on those other people and taking care of them, because it's not your criteria that you are trying to obtain and achieve, but God's. And we see in Philippians what a lot of that means. So being like-minded, again, that's only one part, but it has to be about maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. If you undertake any sort of ministry for God, whether it be individually, through a parachurch ministry, through a church, whatever it might be, these are good things to remind yourself of all the time. Going on, verse 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Yeshua, who, as He already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a bondservant and being born in the likeness of men. That like-mindedness should really transfer over to be more in His likeness. We won't obtain it, but the more that we can aspire to be of like mind and character and service as our God, as our Savior, the better off our life and our ministry in whatever capacity will be. The caveat to being like-minded is being united in spirit, not to make a name for ourselves like those building the tower in Genesis 11, but with selflessness, and to have an attitude like Yeshua. How many of you know what Bet Lakhem's vision statement is? if you're not looking at that up there. Ignore that part. But if we asked you, what is Bethlehem's vision statement? How many of you could raise your hand and know what it is? Okay, that means we're not doing a good job. That means me, is not doing a good job. Because if you consider this your home in some capacity, and you consider yourself someone who wants to be a part of the ministry that we're doing, either in a small part or a big part, whatever it might be, these are the things that we need to know. Kyla, could you pull up that thing that I asked you to pull up? I want to introduce you folks to something called a website, if you don't know what that is. This is Bethlehem's website right here. Kyla, if you could scroll up and if you could go to About Us. There it is in the left. Go down to Mission and Values. There you go. Look at that. Look how handy that is right there. The vision of Bethlehem is joining God's people through the love, spirit, and truth of Messiah. That is what we are trying to do. That is the overarching mission of what, or vision of what we try and do. Whether it be through this service, whether it be small groups, whether it be any of the number of things that we do. The mission, equipping God's people for works of service through regular fellowship, worship, prayer, teaching, and Sabbath and feast day celebration so that the body of Messiah may be built up, unified, and matured. Does that kind of sound familiar? Because this is all of the things that we're going to do. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. We're going to talk about that in just a second. Furthermore, he gave some as emissaries, some as prophets, some as proclaimers of the good news, and some as shepherds and teachers. Their task is to equip God's people for the work of service that builds the body of Messiah until we all arrive at the unity implied by trusting and knowing the Son of God at full manhood at the standard of maturity set by Messiah's perfection. Scroll down just a little bit more, Kyler. Here are the core values that we have. To have Messiah revealed through teaching, regular gathering, and Bible study. To see Messiah elevated through our praise, worship, and lifestyles. To see Messiah emulated through regular fellowship that builds true community, acts of service, loving one another, and feast day celebrations. We are going to try and do a better job of promoting these things so that if you consider Bethlehem your home in some capacity, whether it be just casually or a little bit, that it's a launching pad for other parts of your ministry to God, that you know why we're doing what we're doing. We're not just trying to figure it out as we go. Now, there certainly have been times and seasons where that seems like what we're doing, is we're just trying to figure it out as we go, and it's just, hold on, because we're not sure where we're going, but God does, and let's see if we can keep up. But we want everyone to have an understanding of what that is. So, Kyle, if you can go back to the PowerPoint, that would be great. Or mine. There it is. So God's people, this is one of the things that I also want to be careful of when we talk about joining God's people. Because what that looks like is, okay, you are God's people, so we're going to join all of you together, right? Well, that's kind of boring because as much as I like you guys, sometimes I want to have other people in my life, right? And I truly believe that our God is sovereign. And so when we talk about God's people, it doesn't mean those who are currently, as of this moment, God's people. Because there are a whole host of other people in this world who God has called to be His. They just haven't realized it yet. They just haven't walked into that right relationship with God. God's people includes those He has called to be His and haven't walked in that calling yet. The calling of God is irrevocable. Once He speaks it, and I don't want to get too much into predestination and Calvinism and all that stuff. That is a topic for people much smarter than me and a different time. But I believe from the beginning of creation, God knows who is His, He has called them, and He is just waiting for them to walk into that right relationship with God. It has been the exact same thing with each and every one of us, hasn't it? That moment you entered into that right relationship with God, you had been called, right? It wasn't just at that moment when I went to a Bible study, and you guys laugh, but this is how it happened. I went to a Bible study in college or in high school saying breakfast with God, and you know what drew me there? Donuts. Not breakfast, donuts. Donuts don't even count as breakfast. We just try and make them count as breakfast. But before that moment that I walked into that Bible study, God had called me. And I look back at my life. I look back at the years leading up to that. That was God's calling. I believe I was part of God's people at that moment. I just didn't realize it until he gave me donuts. Manna from heaven, quail, donut holes. All the same. All the same. Still waiting for our donut ministry. Been here 15 years and no one's doing it yet. Maybe that's my calling. Who knows? Honey, I'm not preaching anymore. I'm bringing donuts. That's all it is. We not only want to see people walk in a more real and powerful relationship with God, but for the people to enter into relationship with him for the first time. And that is a very cool thing. That is a very humbling thing to be a part of. So lately, you've probably been hearing us talk about building a bridge, about being a bridge to others. There's even been conversation of kind of changing our name a little bit to somehow include bridges. Not entirely sure. We'll see what the Spirit does in that. Our hope and prayer isn't that we make a name for ourselves, but to build up and join God's people. Not to make Bette Leckham's name that prominent. I could care less if you know what church I go to. I could care less if you know the name. I could care less if you even know how to pronounce it. Because when you've been around for 15 years, you've heard just about every pronunciation of Bette Leckham. And if we were really focused on making a name for ourselves, we would have to spell Bette Leckham phonetically so that people knew what we were doing. And praise God, we don't have to do that. So what I want to show you guys, and this is not to make a name for ourselves. This is a list of the different things that we have done over the course of the last year, year and a half or so, that God has allowed us to start being involved in other things. Not just focused on Bette Leckham, but going out into the community, in other people's lives, to make him known to some degree. We have done 40 Days for Life, two times. We're in the middle of that right now. We have done the Life Chain through Messiah Lutheran, two times. We actually did that last Sunday. Last Sunday. It was very cool. We helped sponsor the Roe v. Wade movie, where we had different pastors, and we had one of our county commissioners, Cody. Thank you. Good night. Really like the man. I can't remember his last name. Goodness. Had him, Cody Davis, there. We've been involved in the Mesa County Commissioners meetings. Oh, have we been involved in the Mesa County Commissioners meetings? Whew, we were all over the news. We've been praying at the Fruity City Council. We've been involved with the Mesa County School Board. We had them come up here. We're actively promoting not them as people, but the values that a lot of them share. We could care less who the person is. We just want people in there who are going to support godly values. The Mesa County Right to Life Banquet we went to a couple, several weeks ago. If you ever wanted to hear a quote about the history of the Christian church or the world when it existed, that was the place for you to go. It was good stuff, but there was a lot of quotes going on there. Community prayer vigils. We have been a part of that with other churches, with Donna Ramsey, our kids' piano teacher, just an amazing woman. God laid it on her heart to bring other people together, other pastors, other churches. We participated in Victory Life Church's Community Work Day. Right after the fire in the church, they started allowing us to meet there, and they said, hey, we're doing this thing. It's called Get Out of Church, and we went out in the community. We're a part of that. The pastor's prayer meetings, Pastor Curtis and Pastor Wendy have been a part of that. The anti-mandate rallies. This is not just a political thing. This is a spiritual thing. This is about walking in the freedom that God has given his people. We had times where we were blessing the Lower Valley Fire Department because, you know, they were kind of good to us. They kind of saved the building. You know, that's kind of nice. And the State Patrol, we did that. We had Chaim Mailspin from the Aliyah Return Center in Israel. He came out and just shared how people can be a part of helping the Jewish people return to the homeland. Maddie helped lead up ShareFest, where we got out in the community in different ways. We've been part of the Colorado Praise thing. What's the one that you've done in the past that you've promoted? There's another prayer event thing that you talked about. I don't know if it was that. And then the community prayer vigils, which we've done many times because I put it up there twice. Well, Black Robe Regiment, thank you. Yep, we're involved in that. What else have we been involved in? Well, turning the tide, we've been doing that. What else? The biblical citizenship class, we've been doing that. Joshua Aaron, we had him here. So you see, there's a lot of things that Bet Lechem has touched over the last 2 years. Again, not to make a name for ourselves, but to get out and share life with people to see God's kingdom built up in strength and in numbers. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16, if you guys want to turn there. Again, God will look more favorably on you if you're actually reading these things from the Bible. Especially if you're in the right translation, which I'm not going to tell you what that is, but it's the one I'm reading. We talked a little bit about it on the Handy Dandy website. Verse 11, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. For, I have it circled in mine, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. And several years ago, God, you know, put on my heart not just building up the kingdom, but adding on in strength and in numbers. Because that involves some form of evangelism, increasing God's kingdom numerically, but also strengthening each and every one of you. So building up God's kingdom in strength and in numbers. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, this is why we do these things. Okay, this is why we recognize that we all have unique roles in God's kingdom. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, because the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So when we talk about, sorry, I wasn't following along. I was being spiritual and reading my Bible there. When we talk about having apostles and teachers and shepherds, many of you might not be called to sit up here and look like a goofball and preach and teach. Praise God, because there are other things that the body of Messiah needs to focus on. You should never just go and idolize any position within the church, whether it is a pastor, whether it is a teacher, whether it is a worship leader, whether it is, you know, the evangelist that goes out. You should never idolize and try and emulate that person just because you want to feel good about yourself. Because our God brings all sorts of people together to accomplish all sorts of tasks. Now, for many, many years, and this was important, we've realized this as leadership in the 20 years or so that this ministry has been around, that the season has been to help equip the saints, to make those who come here as strong as possible. But God has placed us in a season now where we talk about, you know, being strengthened and get on fire, and it's about time. But you know what? It is time. We are living in that time now. It's not about getting on fire, because I look at this room and you all are on fire already. You guys are strong. You guys are mature. And you're ready to go out and serve God in all sorts of unique ways. Now, that does not mean that you know, if you don't feel like you're there yet, that there's no place for you. Absolutely not. Because just as I have small children running around here, you know, my kids are all super smart. Elijah, he just blows me away with some of the things that he comes out with. I mean, I feel like I shouldn't be up here preaching. Elijah should sometimes. Because the man is smart. The man has just a unique outpouring of the Spirit in his life. But I have kids from 10 months old on up to 15 and a half. And they're at different points of their maturity in life, but they all have God's Spirit in them. They're all learning different things, but you know what? They all have a desire to go out and minister to other people. Tessa doesn't know it yet, but you know what? If she's ever smiled at you and drooled on you, you know she's serving the kingdom of God. So, because that is an important thing. Many, many years ago when my kids were, you know, just kind of growing up, and we did a kingdom training thing. It was a program we used to do after our services where we were talking about just different gifts that people had in the room that was there and different things that they felt like God has called them to do to build up the kingdom of God. And we kind of went down the row of like, okay, what do you think God has called you to do? And I remember we got to Isaac and Samara, and you know what they did? They got up and they went and hugged people. That was their ministry. And there are so many people that go through so many hard things in their life that they just need to feel loved and appreciated. And having a small child come up just can, I mean, that does so much for the kingdom of God. So there is room for everyone in this building, everyone who considers this a part of their home to some degree, and even just in the kingdom of God, to minister to others, to help build up the kingdom in strength and in numbers. That's part of why we're doing the Torah Foundations class. And Andrea did a very good job of pointing out this isn't just for the new people. This is for everyone. It doesn't matter how long you have been a believer, how long you have been in Torah, or how long you have been a part of this body, is that there is something for you to give to the folks that come into our lives, whether in this church or in your own life. Is that there are folks who come in here and they have no clue who God is, who Yeshua is, let alone that we say Yeshua, that don't know who Jesus is, that doesn't know what the Torah is, the 613 commandments. They could barely give you the 10 commandments. The Torah Foundations class isn't just for us to tell those people and to teach them. It's to prepare everyone in this body to have a foundation of knowledge that they can share with other people, so that we don't have a select few people who are trying to do that. You know what one of the coolest things in this ministry is when new people come in there and I don't have to say hi to them. Well, that's not the cool part, because I want to say hi to them. But the cool part is that other people in this room are over there first saying hi to them. That is what this ministry is about, is making people feel loved, appreciated, and welcome, and ready to learn more about God in some way. That is where you guys are at. That's where everyone in this room is at, or should be, and just need to walk in it. Because again, that calling is on you. If you count yourself as part of God's kingdom, which to my knowledge, just about everyone in here is there, God has called you to be a part of his ministry. Ezekiel 37, verses 19 through 22. You don't have to go there. I'll read it for you. So God says to him, this is what the Lord God says. Behold, I am going to take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will put them with it, with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick. And they will be one, there you go. And they will be one in my hand. The sticks on which you write will be in your hand before their eyes. And say to them, and let me stop here, because that is a very tricky and cliche messianic thing to say. To the two sticks being joined into one, Ephraim and Judah, and it's kind of has the temptation of just being the Jewish people. God is bringing the Jewish people back together. That is a tricky thing that a lot of messianics will get into, is like, we're bringing the Jewish people back together. You know what? It's God's kingdom back together. That's what it is. He's got people over here under one name. He's got people over here in one name. And he's saying, can we just bring them together in unity for his kingdom? And just not so that you have your own individual, you know, denominations or beliefs or like-mindedness, anything like that. It's, we're just pursuing God's glory. Not for ourselves, but for his. And say to them, this is what the Lord God says. Behold, I am going to take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone. That is you, and that is the people in Israel as well. That is the Christians, that is the Messianics, that is the Jewish people, that is the people from any number of different religions or denominations. If God has called them, they are part of the nations. Among the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land, and as important and as chosen as the land of Israel is, and that is something we need to promote and focus on and really support, the land of Israel is about something much greater than that. And if that is where your relationship with God in your ministry stops, is just the land, I would offer that you are missing something. Because focus on that. If God has called you to really be involved with what the land, the physical land of Israel is doing, praise God, go get them. But never forsake the spiritual land that God has called you to be a part of. And I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel, and one king will be king for all of them. Do you know who that one king is? You guys are so smart. And they will no longer be two nations and no longer be divided into two kingdoms. We will be part of one kingdom. The difference between this and Genesis 11 at the Tower of Babel is that they were trying to do something to make a name for themselves. God is doing this to make a name for himself. And that should be our goal. Not just to build up some cool thing, not just to build up a ministry, not just to build up a church, not just to build up a way of life, but to see him glorified and make a name for him. How many of you believe that we are living in the last days? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. How many of you aren't sure? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. How many of you feel confident that we are not living in the last days? Don't raise your hand. It doesn't matter. It does not matter because God has called us to live with an urgency now. Whether it is because of the last days being here or whether it is because of that lady in Georgia that Andrea mentioned, not that those two ladies were at fault, but there is an urgency because people need something. They need an interaction with God. And there is an urgency we should have regardless of whether the last days are here or not. If you are waiting for God to give you the exact date of when everything will end, you've missed it. Because people will say, well, if I know when he's coming back, then I'll start getting serious with God. If you are taking that stance, I would suggest you've missed it. You should be serving God whether he is coming tomorrow or 1,000 years or 1,000,000 years from now. I don't talk about the last days because I don't know. And at some point, God may tell me to start caring and start focusing on that, but he hasn't yet. And I have a lot of growing I need to do in my urgency of ministry and just taking care of people. But regardless of whether we are or aren't, we, this body, want to be a part of what God is doing in these days. Not just those days, but these days. So I want to close with just the idea that in two different ways. Again, if you count yourself as part of this body in some way, if you say, this is my home, this is where I want to just invest my time and my ministry to God, awesome. Some of those things that we talked about, those are ways that you can do it. Serving God within this ministry does not just mean that you're back there with Jerry moving the camera around. You're not just up here on the worship team. You're not just in the back cleaning the toilets and whatnot. You're not just cooking in the kitchen. Those are some small things that make this building, this ministry function. But that is a so insignificant part of what's going on in God's kingdom. And our vision, our mission as this body, as leaders, is that we can take what we get here and go out there. Not to make a name for Bethlehem, but to make a name for God. And there's so many things up there that might just seem weird, like who all wants to go, you know, pray in front of the city council? Not a whole lot of people. My brother over here does. My brother over there does. Okay? Be careful what you raise your hand for. There's all sorts of different ways that you can be involved. And I encourage you guys, just pray for those things. As we close up the service, I'm going to put that slide back up that has the list of the things that we have been involved in. And it doesn't mean that we will always be involved in those. We may, or God may put other things on our hearts. But you know what? Those are things that he has done and he has called us to be a part of, and we have seen fruit from it and his kingdom established. So I would ask you, as we finish up the service, as we get ready to go off there, take little pictures with your phone, write the things down that we have done, that we've been a part of, that the body has been a part of. Because just about everything that you saw up there was not just a Bet Leckum thing. It was a church thing. It was Messiah Lutheran. It was Victory Life. You know what's kind of cool? This is just an aside, and then I really will finish. Is that when we've been doing the 40 Days for Life, the first day we went up and did that, we prayed, and you know who came up right after that? People who were not part of the 40 Days of Life. It was the Catholic Church. They go up there once a week, and they pray. And I mentioned to some people, yeah, they might have all sorts of whacked out beliefs. I know Daniel experienced some of those things. But what I told people is, but you know what? If nothing else, those people are standing up for life. And that is important, that is invaluable, and that is something that I want to join with other people in. And hopefully they will go back to their church and they will share that desire. So if you guys wouldn't mind standing with me, please. Is there anyone in here who just feels a little bit more motivated to go out and serve God?
Yes.
Even a little bit?
Yes.
I know I do. I was struggling all week with the message, and then God gave me this yesterday. I was like, cool! Now I know what I need to do. Our goal as leaders is to prepare you guys in whatever way God has for you to go out and build up His kingdom. In whatever way that you see fit. Look at you guys. Such an obedient group of people. That's what a pastor likes to see. I'm kidding. Is that you guys feel a little bit more motivated and a little bit more encouraged and have a little bit more sense of urgency for what God is doing. And so I'm trusting the Lord that each and every one of you has a little nudge in your life, whether it be one of these things or whether it be something that He has already laid on your heart. And I'm just going to pray for each and every one of you that you run with that, that you run with it. And if you need help, that you find a brother or sister who can run with you in that. Or if you need some support, that you can come to anyone in this room, even the leadership, even Andrea, she's raising her hand. Prayer walking around the schools, thank you very much. See, it just kind of keeps on going. Is that you would find people here to support you in those things. Amen? All right, so Father God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your Sabbath that you have allowed us to be a part of. Thank you for the lives that you have allowed us to live over the course of this last week, but most importantly, the life that you are calling us to live next week. I just lift up the men and the women and the children in this body. Thank you that your Spirit is alive and well in them, and it is growing in strength in the individuals here. And that you would lay on their heart not a desire for their own ministry, not their desire to make themselves known, but Father, most importantly, to make you known, to make your name known in this world, whether it be in their own individual families, whether it be in their schools, whether it be in their jobs, whether it be in their recreation, whether it be in their hobbies, whether it be just randomly walking around this world, is that they would have that sense of urgency to build up your name in strength and in numbers. Give all of us the insight, the discernment to know what that looks like, and the strength and the courage to walk in that. So, Father, we love you. You are a great and amazing God, and we are just humbled that you have chosen us to be representatives of your kingdom. Help us to walk just with honor and respect and zeal for that. We love you, and we pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.